It's time to talk sports. It's Hacksaw's Headlines, a panorama of the world of sports, stories, comments, and opinions.
Touchdown, San Diego!
Now, here's iconic sports talk show host Lee Hacksaw Hamilton and co-host John Riley.
Who wants to talk sports? We do. From the Dixie Line Lumber and Home Center Studios in San Diego, I am on a road trip. We welcome you to our Monday bonus podcast. March Madness weekend is almost complete. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, along with my co-host out in left field back in San Diego, John Riley. We welcome you to our podcast. It's brought to you by Dixie Line Lumber and Home Centers, 9 stores in San Diego to serve you. You've got projects for 2024. Think about Dixie Line Lumber for the materials, and if you want them to help you create greatness, Dixie Line Lumber. And by North County Eye Center of Poway and Escondido. We will all need help with our eyes somewhere down road. When that time comes, think North County Eye Center, Poway and Escondido. John Riley, good afternoon. You look like you watched a lot of basketball. I know I watched a lot of basketball. We welcome you to our Monday bonus podcast. We're not done talking basketball. How are you?
Good, man. We got the NCAA championships. We've got a solar eclipse. I mean, there's a lot going on today.
Yeah, I'm on the road in Virginia. That's why we're doing this on Zoom. Exception to the rule. We won't be able to do fans forum today, but we will kick it back into gear next Monday. John, pick topic one. On the table, what do you want to talk about?
How about that ladies matchup, NCAA, Caitlin Clark against South Carolina?
Roller coaster, baby. What a great game. I watched that. It was vivid. Iowa, South Carolina, Lady Hawkeyes, 10-0 lead out of the gate. Couldn't believe they pushed the tempo. Caitlin Clark hammering threes. The lead went out to 20-9. She finished the first quarter with 18 points. I thought, Jesus, she's going to score 50? But it didn't happen that way because USC's defense kind of took control of the game. Tell you what, the referees, they let them bang on each other. 4 times in the first half, Caitlin Clark got nailed to the floor, and it was never a foul. And then they did this hands-in-the-face defense I had never ever seen before, and she blew by the defender along the way. But eventually, the defense of South Carolina took over. They went from that big deficit to a 49-46 halftime lead. And then to start the second half, I kept thinking, blowout city, here it comes. This is the end of the run. You know, South Carolina had an 11-0 run. Iowa came back, had a 9-2 run. Then South Carolina answered, went 8-0. And then Iowa came back and had an 8-zip run, too. Hawkeyes trailed by 14, but they kept fighting back. They got the doggone thing down to 5, and then it ended. USC's defense, Iowa went 9 possessions at the end of the game without a basket. Cam Cardoso, the 6'7 Brazilian center, she changed everything in close. 15 points, 17 rebounds, 3 blocks. The story was told on the boards. 51-29, the edge for South Carolina in rebounding. They had 8 block shots and 8 steals. That's 16 possessions that Iowa never had points out of. And they scored 48 points in the paint. And their bench outscored Iowa 37-0. Dawn Staley has got a great program. You know, Caitlin Clark finished with 30. I thought she was unbelievably gracious in losing. So there's just no doubt at all about what she accomplished and her legacy to the sport. I thought it was a tremendous run. And how about Dawn Staley, 3rd championship as an NCAA coach? Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I enjoyed the game. I think it was terrific seeing the women getting this kind of a spotlight and focus across the national media. South Carolina is just too big, too strong. I mean, you saw a lot of the Iowa, you know, guards and their quote, big players, you know, in the key, and they miss so many chippies because they're trying to get around Cardoso and there's just no way to, you know, penetrate. So, you know, it was a great run for Iowa, but I think, yeah, the Beast in the East won this one.
I'll be fascinated to see. It'll probably come either tonight or on Tuesday morning. Fascinated to see what the TV number is. Did they top 15 million? Because in the semifinals, they got 14.2 million, which was absolutely amazing. So the ladies game has been decided. And hours from now, we got the men. What do you think?
Yo, God, here we go. I mean, we got the two big men, the two big teams. I mean, this is setting up perfectly for us, isn't it, Lee?
You got the battle of the bigs. You got Zach Edey versus Donovan Clingan. But you know what? The most unique thing about these big guys, they don't foul. They move their feet. They do get shots deflected. They do change what goes on around the basket, but they don't commit fouls. Neither of these guys has been in foul trouble all of March Madness. I think the game is not just going to be about what Zach does to Donovan. I think the real aspect of the game is what the guys in the backcourt do. Stephon Castle is having a phenomenal run for UConn, and he's a legitimate freshman. I mean, he is a big guard who plays almost like a power forward. He's been unbelievably impressive. And in terms of Purdue, a little bit streaky in the three-point area, but they shoot 40% from the arc. They need Braden Smith and Lance Jones to hit threes to make this an explosive game. If they don't hit threes, and the last time they didn't hit threes, and Purdue, you know, might have a tough time because UConn just runs wave after wave of guys at you. And UConn's just deep. And UConn is 25-1 since January. And there's no doubt that coach Dan Hurley coaches on the edge. He's a passion play.
Yeah,
but Matt Painter's done a phenomenal job in terms of adjustments and going to different guys to get the job done. So I think it's gonna be a great game. I do think the guards play a huge role as to who's gonna win this tonight. And John Riley says,
you know, I think it's interesting how you said how the big men don't commit fouls. And I noticed that a lot with Jaden Ledee with San Diego State this year. They're well coached. These coaches know how to keep their big men vertical without leaning their arms over and just to make the shot difficult. They don't necessarily need to stuff the guy every time. So I think it's remarkable the coaching here. I like Purdue in this game. I like Lawyer out there hitting the threes. I think this is Purdue's year.
Could be. And they've been to the Final Four three times in its history. This is the best team I think they've ever had. And these are two really great coaches. Okay, so that's March Madness. We got one other basketball topic here on our Monday bonus podcast we'll talk about.
Yeah, Lakers, Clippers, we're getting close to the playoffs, Lee.
Yeah, final week of the season is upon us. And the Lakers, who had won 9 of 11, fell back into ninth place on Sunday night when they got battered by Minnesota because Anthony Davis got hurt again. And Davis has been playing like an MVP candidate for months, got poked in the eye. Now, big question, is he going to be able to play Tuesday? Is it going to be later in the week? I mean, they're running out of games to play. What is so critical, John, for the Lakers right now, is if you finish in seventh or eighth in the conference, you get two kicks at the can in the play-in series. You do have a chance, even if you lose the first play-in game, come back and qualify by winning the second. But if you're ninth or tenth, and the Lakers are ninth and Golden State's right behind them, you get one chance. You play that first play-in game, and if you don't win, your season is over. And this is a long, hard run. It's kind of hard to believe with the Lakers, with all this raw talent and how well they played the back half of the schedule, are on the brink of either having just one play-in game or having to play two and two nights to stay alive. So the Anthony Davis eye injury has to be concerning. The wild card for the Lakers is who shows up on which night to bail them out, because it can't just be AD and LeBron. Rui Hachimura has had some brilliant games. He has a 38-point game. The next game he goes 3-for-13. Explain that for me. Austin Reeves has had a real good second half of the season. D'Angelo Russell's having a spectacular year. He's going to opt out of his contract after this season. But he has games where, you know, he could pour home 27 or 32. So Lakers, as well as they played, they're kind of on the edge. I mean, they may be the eighth or ninth place team in the play-in series, and that's not good. Clippers are rolling. Now, a little bit of concern with the Clippers. They're 50-28, which is pretty impressive, John. But Kawhi Leonard's got tendonitis in his knee because he's pounded so many minutes, and they've not given him a ton of nights off this season. Paul George is playing possessed. He had 39 on Sunday night. Kawhi, of course, can't play. The Clippers, with James Harden's almost like a sidebar player. We're not seeing James Harden score 30, 35 points anymore. And, of course, Russell Westbrook is now back from the broken hand. They could be really dangerous as long as Kawhi is on the floor, but we're just going to have to see how they manage his minutes going forward. Tuesday, tomorrow, Lakers-Golden State. So either the Lakers put Golden State out of their misery, or the Lakers are the ones that are going to be in misery if the Warriors somehow win that game. And then the Lakers have to go to New Orleans at the end, which is not easy because Zion Williamson's playing well. Clippers, this is not easy, but their fourth place slot seems solidified. They got to play Phoenix here, Phoenix there, back-to-back games to wrap this thing up. So Lakers, all of a sudden, there's an issue. Clippers look like they're rolling to the postseason.
Yes, the Lakers have a play-in game before the play-in game, right? So what's your take on this whole NBA playoff format where some of these games are one and done?
It's weird, but if you're a ninth or 10th place team, it doesn't mean you're elite. So why are we worrying about putting you in a best of three or a best of five or a best of seven? You don't deserve it. So I think it's a gimmick. I think it's kind of cheesy, but it sure is, it's a wild card game. So everybody is focused on that wild card game. You got to go get it done. And for the Lakers, that's piling additional games onto a roster. It's got a lot of age and it's superstars. I guess I'll watch it, but I don't like it because I think it's got too many gimmicks and gadgets. John Riley says
you're so old school. It's just fantastic. Is this the year the Clippers finally make a run? I mean, can they even get to the Western Conference Finals? What do you think, Lee?
If Kawhi is standing and Kawhi is playing the way Kawhi can, with PG, with Harden, with their big center, and with some explosiveness off the bench, yeah, I think anything short of Western Conference Finals, I think would be a disappointing season. And they're 50-28. That's a pretty good basketball team. Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are all the stories in basketball as we get to halftime. Now, just a reminder, I'm on the road. John is out in left field. We won't be able to do Fans Forum because we're kind of doing a unique Zoom matchup today. But we'll get back to Fans Forum next Monday. And by the way, if you like sports, please check my website, LeeHacksawHamilton.com. I write on it every day of the week. The best 15 minutes in sports, Hacksaw's headlines, one man's opinion, Hacksaw's mini polls. Want you to participate. And when you check my website, there's a big orange box just like this right on the front page. And want you to fill it out. Join Hacksaw's Insiders Group. You'll get direct emails of a bunch of different things that we're doing. Our podcast is brought to you by Dixie Line Lumber and Home Centers. 9 stores to serve you in San Diego. John, you did projects. I did projects. We use Dixie Line. We're pleased.
Yeah, great guys there, pros. If you're a contractor or a homeowner, you want to remodel your kitchen, your bathroom, or you just need to like kind of tweak a few things in your garage, they've got lumber, building materials, tools, everything you need.
And they'll consult with you about the creative end of whatever you're going to design. We like these guys. Dixie Line Lumber. And we're brought to you by North County Eye Centers, Poway and Escondido. We're all going to need help with our eyes, whether that's vision test, whether that's new glasses, whether it's contact lenses for the first time or state-of-the-art contact lenses. But if ever problems evolve with more serious things, and that happens to all of us, from glaucoma to other issues with your eyes, think about them. These people worked with me. Very pleased. North County Eye Center, Poway and Escondido. We start the second half of our Monday bonus podcast. Hacksaw here. I'm on the road. John's broadcasting from left field. You can tell by his opinions. We march on. We got baseball to talk about, John. Go ahead. It's right there on the bulletin board, right in front of your face.
Right in front of my face. And I am still butthurt over this Giants win in San Francisco over the Padres. What happened with Ahsan Kim?
Well, there's a lot of storylines here. Let's start first with the Padres, then we'll touch bases, Dodgers, and then with the Angels. Padres are 5-7. Now they come home, Cubs, then they go to Dodger Stadium, and then they go back out on the road again. 4 of their losses have been to San Francisco, which just riles me. San Francisco, I'm sorry, it's got a ragtag roster. They lost 4 games, never faced the ace, Blake Snell. It's right now, the Padres are just not a complete team. We talked about this at the end of last week, John. 5 guys in their bullpen. not named Robert Suarez. The other five have let them down. The other five have played a direct role in the six losses that they've had this season. The other five have now pitched 25 innings, have given up 21 runs, have a 7.57 ERA coming out of the pen. That's a problem. Second problem, hold on to the table. Team batting average with runners in scoring position, 203. Not good. Manny Machado is hitting a .190, which is odd because he hit really well in the spring. And Ha-Seon Kim is hitting an even .200 and had two strange defensive plays for a gold glove shortstop in the Sunday loss to San Francisco. I went back and did a check. The Padres have had seven big innings so far this season, accounting for 34 runs. The other 93 innings, John, they've scored 29 runs total in 93 innings. Ooh. Aside from the big innings. They've got a hole in the lineup. They've never, as good as Jackson Merrill is playing right now, they've just got problems. Guys are not hitting. They, in all honesty, have not replaced Juan Soto. And here's what I think is going on. I think A.J. Preller's talking to Miami seriously. Miami is in fire sale mode. That franchise is just completely collapsed. And I'm of the opinion that he's going to make a sales pitch to try to get Luis Urias, the first baseman, second baseman that Miami had gotten from Minnesota. You know, the kid that, you know, he flashed and hit almost 400 for the first 3 months of last season, wound up hitting, I think, in the 340s. But the problem is you get him for 1 year rental. The other problem, are we going to revisit trading away the farm system again? I was told Miami wants 3 to 4 prospects if they're going to move Arias. So Padres right now are just not a complete baseball team, and they've got a lot of work to do, and just dead ahead, they got the Dodgers. Your response on Padre baseball?
Lee, didn't you say that the Padres bullpen was going to be their strength? And now what's going on? Why are they failing? Or is it just too early? You know, we just need to relax and be patient.
Well, it is early. You know, the favorite phrase would be small sample size, John. And those guys had accomplished this. You know, what Cosgrove did last year was spectacular. Cosgrove's had a couple of bad outings. Wandy Peralta, as a setup guy, has pitched okay, but he's had one bad outing. I guess the big issue is what is going on in terms of usage. Have they been overused? And there's a bit of an alarming thing, and nobody's talking about it. Robert Suarez's last outing, one inning plus, he got five outs, 35 pitches, has not pitched since then. That's a big issue in terms of overuse, too much use, too many pitches in one outing. So, granted, it's early in the season. They're 5-7. I just don't think they have enough bats and a little concerned about how erratic the pitching is. Well, let's go from that to the Dodgers. Yoshi Yamamoto, or as I called him, Yosh, till I was corrected by Dodger fan. Yoshi, man, he was brilliant. He's had two good outings with the one bad outing so far. He looks like he's got this thing dialed in. But you know what? When you're a young pitcher, have tough times. Bobby Miller, number two starter in the rotation, pitched well at the end of last season, John, for them. Bobby Miller at Wrigley Field struck out all three batters in the first inning on 10 pitches against the Cubs. 10 pitches, 3 Ks. Didn't get out of the second inning. While pitches, walks, hit batsman, long ball, gave up 5 runs, and Dave Roberts had to go get him in the second inning. So young guys can be good, like Yoshi was, could be bad, like he did one time. And now Bobby Miller, geez. And then Gavin Stone got lit up on Sunday. So Dodgers right now are not the complete deal. However, Walker Buehler has now had two good rehab outings. And I think by May 1st, he's going to be back in the Dodger rotation, even if it is on a pitch count. That being said, the Dodger batting averages are unfreaking believable. Mookie Betts, .400. Showtime, .300. Freddie Freeman, .333. Max Muncy, .286. Teoscar Hernandez, .273 with long balls. I tell you, the first half of the Dodger batting order, Bingo. So Dodgers' best ball is still to come, and I think as soon as they get Buehler back, that's going to help them a great deal. One other note, Angels, miserable weekend at home opener, played the Red Sox. The fans booed Anthony Rendon every minute, every game at home plate.
Awesome.
And he's hitting .073. You know, we think back to the day he made the comment, baseball's not the most important thing in my life. Holy cow, why would you say that publicly and then followed up by hitting .073 after having had three straight bad seasons with injuries? Boys, he created a monster mess for himself. And Angel fans were canvassed by the media over the weekend at the stadium. And almost to a man, Angel fans said, I wish Artie Moreno would sell the team. And Angel fans said, you know, Mike Trout's been dedicated, but maybe we should trade him and get a boatload of players in return for him. Only positive thing to come out of the Angels' opening weekend at home against the Bo Sox, this kid Reed Detmers, the number one pick from a couple of years ago that they force-fed, he's really had a great start. He struck out 12 on the weekend in his latest start in six innings. So it looks like they've got a front runner to lead their rotation. I just don't think they have enough players. So John Riley from left field, comment on the Padres, comment on the Dodgers, comment on the Halos.
Well, yeah, the Padres, I'm frustrated. I mean, they should have won that game on Sunday. I mean, it was insane how that didn't work out. I heard some people on social media saying, you know, talking about the Ha-Seong Kim dropping the ball. If the fielder has the ball in his glove and he touches the player, some would say that at that instant, the player should be out. But then the ball pops out later. It's like the transfer rule. It's like a little bit subjective.
When I saw the play, though, I wasn't sure whether the ball was in Kim's glove or the ball might have hit the base runner and Kim's glove simultaneously. All of a sudden, the ball's going by him.
You know, I do want to give a shout out to another sports talk guy, Ben Higgins. He had a great tweet. He said, if it wasn't for the Padres having gloves failing left and right, they'd be in a lot better position.
Your thoughts on the Dodger batting order? Who the hell are you going to pitch around?
Oh, my God. I mean, they're just loaded on every level. I mean, it's just they just keep restocking. The comment I want to make about the pitching is that, you know, they're blessed with so many riches. But I remember in this morning's Best 15 that you sent out, Ryan Pepiot, who the Dodgers traded away, had a really good outing in Tampa.
11 strikeouts. Very, very dominant outing in six innings for the Rays.
Yeah,
Spin back, the Miami trade talks.
Oh, that.
We revisiting A.J. doing this? Does he have to do it? Because Arias, that's a pretty good bat, and they got holes in their lineup. Or are we going to give up too much to rent a guy for 1 year?
Well, you know, first of all, Arias is like a Tony Gwynn, which kind of makes it feel good for Padres. But what would you do with your infield? I mean, you'd have to move Cronenworth or Kim the third and Manny to DH and then Luis Arias on the right hand side. And then the infielders just cycle through the DH. I mean, what else could it's just we need outfielders. You know, the infield, I think, is OK, right?
Well, it is, but Arias would give them bats, base
hits.
Oh,
big time, yeah.
But the issue is you could tell Jake Cronenworth, go back in the clubhouse and get your outfielder's glove, and maybe he becomes your left fielder. You know, and we don't know if Jackson Merrill is going to continue hitting the way he's hitting, but this has been fabulous. Gets hitting .333 right now, which is kind of cool. But I'm concerned about Manny, because they had to shut him down because of fatigue in the elbow. Now he is throwing again, but it's not like taking as much infield as you need to be sharp. And maybe he stays at DH. So we'll see if this Miami thing happens. But as exciting as it would be to get that kind of bat, even on a one-year rental, here we go again. Who are we going to trade next?
Well, you know, AJ keeps replenishing the farm system, right? Boots on the ground. So he keeps generating assets to trade.
Okay, let's talk about the other story in baseball. What's a bad weekend here?
Oh, really bad. I mean, you know, we're talking about Spencer Strider, a lot of these pitchers going down. Is there an epidemic here with pitching?
Well, it's been really bad. There have been seven elbow surgery injuries in the last 10 days in Major League Baseball, and I think it's about I had kept count for a while. I'd say it's got to be at least 20 elbow surgeries since spring training started. And there's been an awful lot of dialogue about why this is happening. And the sports medicine people are of the opinion, Everybody's throwing these cutters and everybody's throwing these sweepers and everybody's putting unbelievable force on the shoulder or the elbow, and the elbow ligaments can't handle the velocity and the strength. And that's a big issue. You know, in the headlines, Cleveland Guardians, they lose Shane Bieber. It's a horrible setback for a good pitcher. This was his walk free agent year. He was going to go on the open market. He will not be able to pitch for at least 16 months, so he has no leverage at all. And he'll be in Cleveland with or without a contract. But he went down, boom, just like that, with the elbow injury. I was always concerned about what was going to happen to Spencer Strider because he was a physical force guy, threw a lot of pitches, struck a hell of a lot of guys out. He was 21-5 last year, John, 281 Ks. He blows out his elbow, and that happened real quick. He felt discomfort in his prior start, pitched this past weekend, didn't feel right, did the exam, torn UCL. That's a big blow because he's a fine pitcher. Terrible story in Boston. Trevor Story, who had a great career going with the Colorado Rockies, is gone with a dislocated shoulder. And it was really painful to see happen. And he's just had so many injuries in the last 3 years. He's not been able to stay healthy. And it looks as if he may have to have shoulder surgery. And we're saying goodbye to Steven Strasburg in Washington. We had projected this was going to happen. He had had, as you remember, as a young guy at Syracuse in the Washington farm system, he had the elbow surgery. It took him a year to come back, came back, and just was brilliant, was dominant, was superstar. You thought, geez, he's going to get to 200 wins this young in his career. He'll be a Hall of Fame pitcher. And then it all unraveled on him. Shoulder, that was an issue. Blood clot, that was an issue. Nerve damage in the neck, career is over. And he had just signed a mega contract after the great World Series performances with Washington, and he completely broke down. I think he's thrown only 31 pitches in 3 years, and he won't throw again. He has just announced his retirement. There was a hassle about his remaining $105 million on the contract. His agent, Scott Boras, you know, he wanted all the money immediately, and the Washington Nationals finally worked out a deal that he will get his $105 million, even though hardly pitched at all on the extension. It's going to be deferred for chunks of years down road to help the team. But, boy, you go back, John, if you look at his statistics, 113-62. I mean, he was on a path to 200 career wins, which normally makes you a Hall of Famer. 3.24 career ERA, postseason earned run average 1.46. How phenomenal is that? And I didn't realize the strikeout totals. He struck out 1,723 batters in just over 1,400 innings in the major leagues. Injuries are cruel, and this is kind of a cruel ending to a guy that really became an exceptional major league pitcher. So he's officially announced his retirement on Sunday and said the quote he used in the press briefing was, "I left it all out on the field. I have nothing left to give." So hell of a pitcher, burned out short period of time.
Steven Strasburg, Aztec for life. You know, I hate to see it, but what a great career while he was going. I want to go back to the injury situation. And did you see Tyler Glasnow's comments about this, where he said by banning the sticky stuff, that is indirectly creating more pitching injuries because the pitchers have to put the ball deeper in their hand, they have to grip it harder, which creates more tension in their elbow muscles. And then when the max effort comes, then things start to rupture.
Yeah, because you can change your whole physical body by weight training and get bigger and stronger in the legs and the arms and shoulders. The one thing you can't change is the elbow ligament strength. But they when they do the surgeries, a lot of these guys do come back completely healthy and completely stronger. Okay, one other topic on the table before I close out this Monday bonus podcast, brought to you by Dixie Line Lumber and Home Center Stores and by North County Eye Center of Poway and Escondido. John, you like this segment, Hot Headlines.
Yeah, the Hacksaw's Headlines, the high-speed sports wire is where we hopscotch around all the different topics. So let's go, Lee.
Okay, names in the news. Zach Edey, not the player, the person. Did you know, because I did not know, any player who comes from abroad, whether he is a Euro or a Canadian cannot get NIL money. Zach Edey, because he's on a Canadian educational visa at Purdue, gets no NIL money. And yet the young man came back and played another season. He chided the NCAA over the weekend that you people need to revisit the NIL thing because this is not fair to Canadians. It's not fair to the Euros. Don Staley, three NCAA championships, USC, now what she's done at South Carolina. And the most unique thing about her, she's a global recruiter. She's got a star from Brazil, kids from the West Coast, including the point guard from Oceanside, kids from the Deep South. I mean, she's right there on the horizon of becoming one of the best in women's college basketball. USC, Eric Musselman, this will be fun. He's unique. He is pushy. He goes get players. Eric Musselman's cupboard is almost totally bare. Virtually everybody has exited from USC. It'll be fascinating to see how quickly he's going to be able to reload that. Speaking of coaching, John Calipari pushed out at Kentucky, winds up at Arkansas today on a contract that's going to be worth about $8 million per season. His time had come at Kentucky. I don't know whether he got lazy on the job or he just thought, well, I'll try to win with five McDonald's All-Americans every year and they'd be one and done and gone. A lot of pressure on him the last couple of years at Kentucky. I don't understand this. Bronny James, now he announces he's filing for the NBA draft, or he might go into the transfer portal, but he's not coming back. He should come back and play for Musselman because he'd be a cornerstone player, and Musselman would teach him a lot about the college game. How anybody who averages 4 points a game and got benched as a starter thinks he's ready to go to the NBA because he's LeBron James royalty, that's crazy, but I think he's making a mistake. Rashee Rice, wide receiver, Kansas City, he's in huge trouble. They're about to hit him with seven different traffic violations, including a felony, leaving the scene of an accident. He and a friend who were drag racing that caused a six-car crash, leaving the scene of an accident where people were injured, and he was the one that caused it. He's in big trouble with the law, bigger trouble with the NFL. I don't know this guy. His name is Eric Johnson. He's the mayor of Dallas. I don't know what he's smoking, what he's using. The mayor of Dallas announced over the weekend he is going to pursue the Kansas City Chiefs to, quote, bring them home. Eric Johnson, the mayor of Dallas, wants a second team. He'd have to fight through Jerry Jones, territorial stuff. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs have a lease that runs through 2030. There's no place for them to play in Dallas yet. Eric Johnson is of the opinion we'll build them a stadium and we'll bring them home. Hell, they only played in Dallas 1 year in the old AFL when they were the Dallas Texans. What's he doing? What a waste of time. Anyhow, those are names in the news. And John Riley says,
the Zach Edey comment about the NIL money for international players surprised me. And I'd imagine that affects like Camila Cardosa at South Carolina because she's from Brazil. And it just goes to the fact that they've got to reform this and they got to fine tune it and get it right. But this is America. This is where people come for opportunity and they're shutting them down. That doesn't make sense to me. Dawn Staley, what a run. I mean, you got to congratulate her. I mean, and then the other comments, Musselman, I love that guy. I think he's entertaining. He's a feisty. He's a winner. He's like a little guy with a chip on his shoulder that knows how to rally the troops. So love seeing him come back home to Southern California. And
He's going into the Big Ten with no players.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we'll see what he does. I mean, he's just going to get started here, but it's a big opportunity for him. I mean, think this kid went to USD. He coached at Nevada and then he coached at Arkansas. And I guess he has a lot of NBA experience, too.
Well, his father was Bill Musselman, coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Prior to that, was head coach, University of Minnesota. He is a basketball junkie. Your thoughts on Bronny? Your thoughts on Rashee Rice?
I'm rooting for Bronny to make a good decision because I'd love to see the James family legacy continue. And the Dallas thing, you know, with the football, I mean, there's no way Jerry Jones is going to let another team come into his marketplace. Kansas City and the Chiefs are two, you know, they're melded together. The team that I worry about is more the Royals than the Chiefs in terms of moving out of town.
But they might move across the border because Kansas City, Kansas is like 12 miles away from downtown Kansas City, Missouri. So it wouldn't be a tough commute, but they'd have to build a stadium. And I don't know that has been finalized then. So listen, This has been unique. This has been different. We are giving you a rain check for Fans Forum because we can't do it when we're on the road doing Zooms. We'll do it, get it back into gear next Monday. But our Monday bonus podcast is brought to you by North County Eye Center of Poway and Escondido. We will all need help with our eyes somewhere down the road. When that time comes, think about these people. They've been in business since the 1970s, serving people in the North County. And by Dixie Line Lumber, build it, fix it. We guarantee you will enjoy it. Dixie Line Lumber and Home Centers, 9 stores in San Diego to serve you. John, we will be back Thursday for another road trip podcast. I'm sure there'll be more stories, more topics on the table, and then we'll be back in studio next Monday, and we'll invite everybody to jump back on board on Fans Forum. Have yourself a great week and enjoy the Battle of the Big Men. March Madness comes to a conclusion.
Okay, and enjoy your travels, Lee. Safe travels.
And thanks for you for joining us, Hacksaw's bonus podcast, Hacksaw's Headlines. Talk to you on Thursday.
Join us again for Hacksaw's Headlines on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. And find the audio version on your favorite podcast app.
Touchdown, San Diego!
For more content, go to LeeHacksawHamilton.com.